there. He'll help us. Now, I don't know everything. I don't understand it all. I don't pretend to. But there's one thing that I know, that God's will is the most blessed part of our life that we could have. His will accomplished in us, working through us, that we might be in the center of Him at all times. And I don't want to be in the place to where I use God like a yo-yo. Amen. There's a lot of folks that do that in this day and time. And then they wonder why that they're not getting anywhere, why things aren't happening the way that they think that they should. Let me tell you something, friend. The spare tire that's on my car, I have never used it. But it's there in case I need it. But can I tell you this? Ever so often, I reach back there and feel that thing and make sure everything's all right. You can't just drive down the road of the cares of this life and not check in every now and then and make sure. Brother Wayne Barney preached some years ago on Call Home. And I never have forgot that message because it stirred my heart, because every now and then we need to call home. Every so often we need to check in at the Father's house and find out what's going on with us. You see, we get so concerned with everybody and everything around us that a lot of times the enemy helps us forget about us and forget about what's going on in our lives, but we need to remember us. I like the old preacher, and I've told it, and I'll tell it again. Amen. The old preacher that was flying on the airplane, and the stewardess ran up, and they told him that one engine had gone out, and the other one was not looking real promising. And the old preacher began to pray, and the stewardess ran up and said, aren't you a minister? And he said, I sure am. He said, yes, I am, ma'am. And she said, would you pray for me? She said, I need prayer. I need you to pray for me. He said, I'll pray for you just as soon as I get done praying for myself. He said, I promise you I will. Let me tell you something. There's sometimes when we just got to trust God for us. There's sometimes when we got to look to the Lord. And God help me tonight, okay? I'll read some scripture here just in a minute. But this thing of calling on God when you're in trouble and forgetting God when you get out of trouble is a very serious thing to do. They sang that song, I'd rather be an old-time Christian, Lord, than anything I know. And an old-time Christian, a lot of people say, well, that's just because they dress different, they look different, they act different. That may be part of it. But an old-time Christian, what it really means is this, is that we're evermore remembering God in our hearts and our lives every day that we walk with Him. You see, listen, friend, you cannot just pick God up when you need Him and throw Him aside when you don't. You cannot. I believe it's going to come home to us somewhere in life. Amen. If one bad thing happens, it's a coincidence that it may have happened that way and the enemy got in. If two bad things happen, I remember in the book of Job where it begins to talk there in the first chapter, and it said that there come a day and a time when the sons of God begin to present themselves before the Lord. And it is simply talking about the angels of heaven as they begin to check in, amen, and begin to seek out and walk through there and be before the Lord, stand before the Lord. But the Bible teaches me in that first chapter right there, I don't know exactly, I believe it might be the 6th, 7th, 8th verse, in the first, what is it, brother? 6th verse, amen, where it says, and there was a day when the sons of, go ahead and read it there, Brother Jerry, for us real quick, amen, just so we get it accurate.
There was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before.
They walked in before the throne of God and they stood there before the Lord.
Right.
They presented what? Themselves. What we do a lot of times is forget to present ourselves. We want to present God with everything else, but we forget about presenting ourselves before God. But these angels, these angelical beings came, and right now in heaven, there's angelical beings going in and coming out. Right now in heaven, there's angelical beings that are walking into the throne room and coming in and going back out. Right now in heaven, there's discussions going on. In heaven, brother, right there where God is, amen? Right there in the very tabernacle, right there in the very presence of the Lord, the throne room of grace, there is discussions going on about you and me, amen? There's discussions going on, I believe, about everything that is taking place in this world. But the Bible teaches me in that sixth verse that the devil himself appeared there with them. Now let me just tell you something. You hold on. Buckle your seatbelt. Just put it up a notch tighter. Amen. Because we don't like to hear what we've come tonight to hear, preacher, is about the pearly gates and golden streets and walls of jasper and about the blessings of heaven and the goodness of God. But I want you to know something. As well as there is a positive side on your battery terminal, there is also a negative side. And if you don't hook both of those up together, you will not get a complete circuit and your vehicle will not run. It won't even turn over. It won't even click. So we've got to have the positive, but also we've got to have the negative. What is the negative, Brother Donnell? It's the things that we do wrong in our lives. It's the things that come against us and we fail those tests. Amen. It's the times that we use God. And there's folks that use God, amen, and then throw Him aside when everything's going fine. I believe it's the old McCamies that sing that song. He's God on the mountain and He's God in the valley. Amen. I want you to know tonight that God is the same no matter where you're at and where He's at. Amen. He's not like some of us. Amen. When things are going good, we're smiling. And when things are going bad, we're depressed, disheartened, discouraged, and downtrodden. Amen. But God's the same all the time. He never changes. He never wavers. He's not like the Galatian church. When Paul said, "Oh, ye Galatians, who has so easily bewitched you?" And he went on to say in another portion of Scripture, "Why are you tossed about by every wind of doctrine?" And some folks just, if it's okay for right now, we'll grab a hold of it. I don't want something for right now. I don't want something for right now. I want something that'll take me down through the eons of time. I want something that'll carry me through the ages of this life. I want something that'll complete the course. Amen. I remember when I was just a little old boy back in the hills of Kentucky and they were giving out those TB shots, I believe it was. Hey man, just about everybody, I don't know if they still do that today or not, but they give you a shot in the arm and it hurts so bad. Hey man, it hurts so bad. But the worst part about it is in a few days it scabs up, makes a sore and scabs over, and then it falls off and leaves a scar on your arm. They, some people that have scars way up here, it's where they've grown. Amen. But they always remember that they had that shot. They never forget about it. Amen. And it's always ever more present and reminding them that they had that shot. And they tell me, I don't know, Brother Danny, but they tell me that that shot will carry throughout the rest of your life. Amen. And can help you in the prevention of tuberculosis. Amen. I don't know a whole lot about it, but I know that, you know, at that time when they were giving it out, that my parents signed the paper and said, "Yes, I want my child to have this." And every time I look in the mirror, hey man, and I see that scar on my arm, it reminds me of that day when it happened. Can I tell you that when I get in trouble and when things are falling apart and things are crumbling around me, I look back at the cross of Calvary and it reminds me of the night that I fell on my face and found the Lord to be sweet to my soul. Amen. Yes, I've stumbled. Yes, I've fell before. Yes, Sister Amy, I have ran into some brick walls, so to say. But there's never been a time that I have not looked up and seen the cross of Calvary and knew what the blood had done to my life and how that it had touched me. I'd rather be an old-time Christian. Amen. I think about the ark. Amen. When Noah was commissioned to build the ark, how that there was one door, only one door. Can I tell you there's only one way to get a hold of Jesus Christ? And that's through the blood at Calvary. That's through visiting Calvary. Amen. Somebody said, "Brother Mike, we're older Christians. This is an immature story that you're telling us tonight." It's ever more deep. I said it's ever more deep. Because if you get to thinking about that one door, and I just begin to think about it a little bit today, Brother B, as I was coming down from the hospital on the elevator, and I entered into that elevator, and there's no exit, no way out. And I thought, well, you know, I looked up, and there's a little panel up there, a little window up there. And that old elevator was kind of acting crazy and jumping and jerking around. Somebody said, did it bother you? No. I tell you what, I think when I get on the elevator, if this thing breaks loose, just when I think that it's going to hit the ground, I'm going to jump up in the air. Amen. Oh, it'd be a terrible thing if somebody big as me didn't jump up in the air. That's right. Amen. I mean, I look like an accordion when I come out of that thing. But I think, I'm going to jump up in the air. But some lady, she grabbed the walls and she said, is there any other way out of here? I said, no other way but that door. And there's a panel up there. Amen. And I begin to think about the ark. And when Noah built the ark, there's only one door. But can I tell you this? That God spoke to Noah. And you read it back in the book of Genesis. And God said, come in to the ark. God spoke to Noah and said, come in to the ark. Amen. He didn't tell him to go in. If he would have said go in, that would have meant God would have been on the outside. And Noah would have been standing there saying, God saying, now go into the ark. But Noah heard the voice of God say, come in. So God was already in the ark. You understand that? Amen. When they got inside that ark, amen. And God, the Bible says, not Noah and not Noah's sons, but God shut the door. You hear what I'm saying tonight? God is doing it all. God is doing it all. We think sometimes, Brother Jimmy Farley, that we're doing it all, but we're not doing anything. All we are is puppets on a string before heaven. Amen. And if we're not saved, we're puppets on a string before hell. Amen. You see, the Bible says no man can serve two masters. Either you'll cleave to the one and push away the other, or, amen, you'll hold to this one and push that one off afar. So what no man can serve two masters. You cannot drink bitter water and sweet water. It cannot come out of the fountain at the same time. You just can't get a hold of that. You can't do it. So what we're looking at tonight is one door, one way, one man that's able to take care of every need that you've got. And his name is Jesus. God told Noah, he said, come into the ark. Huh? You know, Brother Donnell, it'd just be about like me being out here in the hallway. And I'd open up this door and say, Brother Donnell, come in here with me. Amen. What God told Noah, Noah, come in here with me. After Noah got in and God shut the door, I want you to keep that in your mind. God shut the door. Amen. They were in there how many days? 40 days and 40 nights. Amen. They spent inside that ark, Brother Jerry. But oh, listen to me. There was only one window. One window. I mean, this thing was, what, 675 feet long, 645 feet long, 75 feet wide. It was four stories high. I mean, we're talking about a big old boat, brother. I mean, a big old boat. The pitch, the Bible says that Noah pitched it on the inside and on the outside. And it kept the water out. It kept it out, and it didn't let it all flood in and destroy the ark. So when they got in there, and the door was shut, and God shut the door, amen, and there was no windows on the side, Sister Adrian, amen, as they began to go forth, all they could do is look up. There was one window to look out of, but they had to look up. Aren't you glad tonight? That when you get in problems and you get in troubles and you get in disappointments and you get in discouraging times, that's why I tell folks, don't lay your head down. Look up. You read the Bible. You'll find out that the Bible says whenever you're trialed and persecuted and all manner of evil spoken against you, he said what? Look up. Thy redemption draweth nigh. You hear me tonight? That's the key. That's the answer, is keeping your head up. Looking up. Whenever you begin to go to Calvary, Jesus is not in the tomb. He's up. He's out of that thing. Amen. He's up in heaven. He's sitting at the right hand of God the Father tonight. So what we got to remember is this, that there was one door and one window. One door on the side, God shut it, and it was sealed and it was closed. But whenever they needed to find out what was going on, all they had to do is look up. Amen. When they released that bird out of there, hey, they went out through the top. They went out through the top. I begin to think about that on that elevator. I just about had me a raptured spell. Amen. I just about come unglued. I mean, I told them, I said, hey, everything's going to be okay. Hey man, just look up here. We got an escape route right here. Hey man, that lady said, they don't help me. I'm smothering to death. Hey man, I want you to know, when you ain't trusting God, when you're not looking to the Lord, the author and finisher of your faith, you will smother to death. Complications, troubles. 1 Peter said, casting all your cares upon Him, for He careth for you. Not just when you're in trouble. Not just when tragic times come. Not just whenever you have hardships. I don't know who it was about a week or a few days ago, whenever it was. They was talking about Sister Lois being saved. It's a good thing, and she'd been saved for quite a while, and I thought, yes, it is. Because Sister Lois is one of those people that always felt like she couldn't come to God in tragic times. She felt like it scared salvation was no good. Now, I don't agree with that. I want you to know that. I said, whenever you need God and you're not saved, you better get to Him. I don't care when it is. I don't care when it is. When I was laying underneath that car some years ago, which I was pastoring church even then, just a young pastor, I was laying underneath that old Datsun 510 station wagon. It fell down on my chest. Had my arm pinned up in there. Hey man, I want you to know something. I called on Katrina, my little girl, just a young little girl standing out in the front yard playing. And I said to her, I said, Katrina, I said, come here a minute, baby. I said, go get your mama for daddy and tell her I need to talk to her. I didn't act excited and tore up, because I knew that if she went in there screaming and screaming at Sharon, so Sharon would get all tore up and all nervous, she might fall out the door and break her arm or something other and not be able to help me get out underneath that car. But I want you to know, before I called on Katrina, I had already called on God. I got the weight of a back end of a Datsun 510 station wagon laying on top of me. The full weight. I want you to know, I didn't want to die there. And I began to say, Father, if you can just help me. And I mean, I was turned sideways. But Sister Sharon come out there, and I said, now I want you to just take your time, and I want you to take a deep breath, and everything's fine, everything's all right. And just reach underneath here and pull that jack out and put it over here where it belongs. Oh, my Lord. I said, Sharon, this is no time to fall apart. Because if you fall apart, I may not even ever have a part. I said, you calm yourself down. Put that jack right there where I'm telling you to put it. Tighten it up and begin to move that handle very carefully and very slowly. What happened to us sometimes, folks, is we get in dire need and we run extremely fast to the altars and we scream out to God. And God moves and touches it, and we walk away and forget all about it. I guarantee you, Sister Sharon has never forgotten that day. I know I've never forgotten it. Well, there's been some situations and some times in your life right here in the house of God that you've never forgotten it. I guarantee you, Brother Albert and Sister Hope will never forget the day the doctor set them down. But you know what, I'm not preaching tonight because of them and what they said and what God did for them. I already had this message on my heart throughout this week. But even after I'd heard, and I hung up the phone with Brother Albert the other day, I went in the back room and I just got down and began to thank God. But it's not like Sister Hope and Brother Albert just come in here just started worshiping God because they had some troubles. I heard him tell two or three issues tonight. And each one of them he called on God. But you know what he was doing in between those times? He was teaching Sunday school. He was pastoring. He was visiting the sick. He was praying for people. He was taking calls and encouraging folks. Sister Hope was standing right beside him going and doing things for the church and stuff. Listen to me. We need not think that we can keep throwing the spare on the car. Eventually what happens is we run down to the rim. And brother, when you get down to the brass tacks of it all, somebody's going to have to really pay attention. I believe what God is trying to do to the United States of America right now is tell them, you're on the brass tacks, friend. The rubber has done met the road and you're on the steel rim. I don't think there's a lot of time that's really left for this country, for this nation, to really get a hold of God. I know I've been preaching that for several years, and I know I've been saying that for several years, but I believe in my heart that God is trying to shake us for the last time. I've never heard of things. Just a few weeks ago, and even tonight, even right now, and right here, any state or any country that you want to call out tonight is dealing with an issue in that state or that country. Whether it be finances, whether it be AIDS, whether it be, you know, whatever it may be. It's like a family that some years back that I counseled. And I begin to talk to them. And I begin to tell them, God's trying to get your attention. God's trying to shake you. And one morning I come to prayer here at the house of God, right here in this church. And I called that boy and I told him, I said, I need you to come over. I said, I need to talk to you. I said, son, you have used God like he was a puppet on a string to get what you want in life. Brother Donnell, we don't like to hear preachers preach like this because it tells us where we really are. But I think there's sometimes, Sister Tina, that we need the God of heaven to speak through the man of God and tell us where the problem really lies. You see, we've cleaned the spider webs from the corners. And we've got the webs out from off the walls and away from the windows. But just in a few days, they're right back to where they were. What we really need to do is to kill the spider. When you kill the spider, the webs will not come back. Oh, I know that every one of us face issues and things. But I'm telling you, you got to keep the spider killed. You don't want to deal with the webs? You better swipe the spider plumb out of sight. Better get him out. Better kill him. What I'm telling you tonight, you need to deal with yourself. You need to stand up to yourself and say, I've got to do better. It's not your problem, Brother Jimmy. I pastored church for 25 years now, almost 26, going 26, that I pastored church. And I've heard people say, if the church would help my children more, or if the church would do this, or if the church would do that. Let me tell you something what the church is. It's a worship center. It's a place that you can come and you can get rejuvenated and you can get strengthened and you can get help. It's a place that you can come and be encouraged, that brothers and sisters can meet together in the house of God and worship God together. And you can stand up and testify. The preacher can preach and tell us what we need and how we need God to touch us. We can get fed, but then we leave out of here and execute the thing that was spoke to our hearts and make it right. That's what the house of God's all about. It's a place that we come to that I've never seen where the church took children and raised them It's the parents' job to do that. And it's the house of God's job to train parents how that they can take the Word of God and apply it to their parents' life or to their children's life. We as parents need that. Why are so many things happening, Brother Mike? Why are so many things taking place in my life? You keep wiping the webs out, but you never get rid of the real problem. There's an issue here, friend. This country has an issue. And what we as people, even God's people, have fallen into a spot and into a place in our life to where we'd rather point our fingers at somebody else and say, this one's the problem, or that one's the problem, this thing, this caused this or that, instead of looking at ourselves and saying, right here it is. I'm the one. I've got to have help. I've got to get something from the Lord myself. You see, just a Wednesday night and Sunday morning, Sunday night altar of prayer is just not enough. There's Monday, there's Tuesday, there's Thursday, there's Friday and Saturday. There's five other days in a week that we need to open our Bibles and we need to read the Word of God and we need to get a hold of the Lord. I read again just the other day, and ever so often I turn to a little thing, that a little track that I have, and I read about the Titanic. It's a story that I love to read about, not because of the tragedy, not because of what happened, but I love to read about it because it tells me where we are as individuals. They rolled that big, beautiful ship out. It was the greatest thing. The magnificence of it was just unreal. The shipbuilder made the statement as he christened the ship with his bottle of champagne. He said, here's a vessel that not even God Himself could sink. Right there showed that he wasn't very wise. But they had put in all the safety devices that they could put in, plus added new features in themselves. I mean, they had the best of everything there was. Crystal. I mean, it was just unreal. Sterling silver, pure gold platters. The beauty of it, they said, was just totally unreal. But just a few miles out of port, from London there, I believe it was, they ran abrupt an iceberg about 5 to 6 feet below the surface of the water. And you know what that iceberg did? It ripped the hull of that ship. They said like it was just a piece of an aluminum can. After the man had already made the statement that not even God Himself could sink this ship. And I tell you something tonight. The Bible said the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. Everything, the breath, Sister Sarah, when you woke up this morning and you stretched and yawned and that big breath of air you took into your lungs, it was the Lord's breath. When you raised that big old lever and rolled that roll back off that truck today, Brother Jimmy, and you had the strength to do that, it was God's strength that you was using. These vessels that we have is just ours, temporal. God created them. He made them. Brother Tim was teaching Sunday morning that you're not your own, but you're bought with a price. And that's the truth. When you begin to think like the Titanic shipbuilders begin to think, that you have created it. I've ran into a few doctors in my encounter of going to the hospitals and visiting. I can remember I was only about 35 years old, and I went into a hospital room, and the lady introduced me there at that time and told them who I was. And the doctor looked at me, and he wasn't a real old doctor either. But he looked at me and he said, "I guess you've come to rattle off some long prayer and say, 'Lord, heal her.'" He said, "That's the way these folks do." He said, "We doctors spend most of our life in college really finding out the scientific ways to advance the healing of the body. Somebody comes in and says or rattles off a big long prayer and gives God all the credit for it, and we don't get nothing." Now, I really wasn't going to say nothing. I also wasn't, because, I mean, you know. But all of a sudden, something rose up in me, and I looked at that doctor, and I said, "You know what? If it wasn't for God, you wouldn't be able to take another breath. You better thank God He gave you the knowledge to go to college." I mean, after we did, you know, he just shot out the door, and that was it. And yes, I did rattle off a prayer, and I did ask God to heal her and touch her. And I want you to know something tonight, friend. God has the authority and control of everything that goes on in this world. I never forget one time, Brother Scott Cordell, when I was down in Kentucky preaching a camp meeting, and I got to preaching on the breath of God, and I said God could take His nostril, one nostril, and blow this whole country off the map. Brother, I tell you, the power of God come by me that night, just like I feel His Spirit touching me now. Brother, you think you're your own, you're not. You think that you can handle things by yourself, you can't. And it has been a proven fact that you are already a failure without God. You have learned everything. My God, I feel the Holy Ghost, Brother Jerry Kazee. You have learned everything that you've laid your hands to. Everything that you've touched without God has been unsuccessful. You put your hand to it and it's spoiled and burnt. Because you was not smart enough to realize that without God in authority and control in your life, that you cannot do anything. You're not no Einstein, my friend. You're not no rocket scientist tonight. You may think you've got it pinned down, but you don't have nothing pinned down without God on your side. The Bible said in the book of Proverbs that the fool has said in his heart that there is no God. And we may not speak it sometimes, Sister Amy Lee, but we act like it sometimes. And we think God's a fool sometimes, Brother Jerry Jr., because we pick Him up and use Him and abuse Him, and then we push Him aside when we don't need Him, and go on and grab our wine coolers and sit back and laugh and party hardy, so to say, Sister Sharva. But I want you to know something. There's going to come a time when God's going to require of us the abuse that we did. You cannot trample the mercies of God endlessly and get by with it. You cannot continue to walk in the authorityship of your flesh and fool your own self very long and get by with it. There's going to come a time when payday's coming and you're going to have to write a check that you don't have anything in the bank for. You see, when brothers and sisters like Brother Albert Newsom and Sister Hope Newsom stand up and say, "All I can do is trust God." When folks like Sister Sayer stood and said the other night, "I'm trusting God for my children." When Brother Donnell Barksdale, "No longer than you've been saved," said, "The Lord is going to be the one that's going to be the author of my finances and everything in my life." You see what I'm saying? It's because that we're reaching back and grabbing a hold of the cross of Calvary and saying, "Lord, you come up here in front of me." You hear me? David said, "His word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path." And I want you to know something tonight. Whenever you shine your own light, your batteries are going to run out after a while. But the light of heaven will never go dim, Brother Jerry. Because the S-O-N, the sun, will never go down. Oh my, I tell you. Don't be deceived. God is not mocked. Whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. You hear me? You hear me tonight? I tell you something. As we stand, if we can and will, here in the house of God, I was praying today, and God's speaking to my heart. And God dealing with me right here in the house of God before service time tonight. And I just, you know, so many things I had in my mind. But I said, God, you give me the message of the hour. You give me what needs to be preached and taught tonight. You help me, God, because these are your people and we all look to you, Lord, to guide us. It's just a little bit bigger responsibility than telling a nursery story and turn the kids out to the playground, ain't it? You see, there's some folks that's come here tonight that's in trouble. There's folks that's come here tonight that are in dire need of help. And they know that their life is not where it should be. And they know not that it's not what it should be. So they run to the house of God to try to find help. God's saying to you, I'll give you help if you'll turn everything to me the way it should be. But you can't keep running in and running out. Because there's going to come a day when His mercy is going to run out. And there'll be no more there. Mama won't be able to pray it in. Daddy won't be able to pray it in. Sister and brother won't be able to pray it in. It's just going to be you and God. And that's it. But as they sing a verse of the song, I'd like for you to bow your heads right now. Father, God, as I feel so impressed tonight of your presence, your spirit, dear God, that has touched me right here in the house of the Lord. God, I pray that no one think that I within myself, but oh God, that your mighty presence surround me, oh God. Your word, dear God, that is evermore indulging in my soul, dear God. I pray tonight that you touch the souls of men and women right here in your house. Oh God, it's not in the big fire. And it's not in the clap of thunder, Lord. But it's in that still small voice that's shaking our souls tonight, dear God. I pray that you just move in such a way. Now, God, bless these tonight and bless us as a body of Christ. That we may find you to be greater than we've ever seen you be before. Lord, there's nothing too hard for you right now. We ask it in Jesus' name, our Lord and Savior, forevermore.
It hasn't been a bad
tonight, if you're here in the house of God and you need help, I'm going to ask you to break away from your pew and come to an altar prayer. I'm going to ask you to come with us right here. No matter what the need may be, no matter what you're faced with, no matter what's transpiring in your life, I'm going to ask you to come right now with us. Let's seek the face of God. Church, let's come. Maybe some of us can gather in with these that are already praying and just ask God to touch each one of them in a gracious way.